I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we are back for episode 147 of Digital Divination, and
Hooray!
It's a spooky time of year.
Ooh, Ron, we said we were doing Halloween costumes, not Christmas costumes.
Wait a minute, I heard spooky, and is there anything spookier than the most iconic Christmas ghost story there is?
I'm wearing
you
orange.
You picked the friendliest one, though.
Does that make me spooky?
That makes you visible for, when you're going out trick-or-treating.
Yes.
It makes me what?
No, that makes John more visible when he's out trick-or-treating because he's just wearing that bright orange.
Yeah, my safety vest.
I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm going to also lean down so you can see my shark head better.
Yes, yes.
All right, well. Shark doo.
No.
All right.
Yeah, so Halloween is tomorrow after this gets posted. And I know Ron is having a big Halloween bash that I'm not sure if I'll be able to attend.
At a friend's place, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Can I also say one exciting thing that has really started to become a real tradition at Halloween is my brother-in-law has gotten into music, writing his own songs and stuff like that. And he would do like the occasional song. He would do the occasional Halloween song. And I liked him so much and I was not at all shy about telling him how much I liked him, that this year he had a whole Halloween album that he made that I listened all the way on the drive up to Camino and back down again.
Nice.
Nice.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Halloween and spooky things, we got the Alien Core this week. I did. Ooh. You guys have had it forever. But it officially releases next week, I think. Not even this week. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite spooky things or creatures in Alien Core. And we'll go with our top three.
One of mine isn't spooky.
Well, most of mine aren't too spooky.
For the warning. Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
Look, all aliens are spooky. Just picture them dressed in black.
All righty.
Smoking clove cigarettes.
All right. Well... my first one is really easy, and these are no particular order. I'm doing mine alphabetical because I love them all, and I can't say which it's like you can't say which of your children you love the best, can you, Ron? Or maybe Ron can. I don't know.
All right. I bet he would. Anyway.
Probably.
But don't do it on a recording. Okay. So the first one that I'll say is the Dipex, which is the Rampage Demon on the cover. And I just think it's so cool that it has this massive autocannon that's on here. But the funny thing is, like, the lore that's on here. I don't know if you guys read the lore about leg day. Dipexes often boast of never needing to use their legs because their lungs are strong enough, their arms are strong enough to compensate. These sane Dipexes often receive a rude awakening to their foolishness when their legs fail mid-barrage and they find themselves on their backs firing into the sky. The wisest of the Dipex know that to truly utilize their arms to the fullest, they must also put out consideration into the strength of their legs. So they're not to be a gym bro that skips leg day is what they're saying.
Wild.
I just think that's kind of fun.
You see, the part that its bullets are made of its own flesh is the spookiest part.
That is spooky.
That chain gun spot is gross.
My second one is a cute spooky. How's that? And it's the Embermod.
I think the word is spoopy.
It's spoopy. The Embermod. Which is looks more like a little squawks, but it's a moderator fae. Again, it says they tend to be solitary, respectfully avoiding communities already inhabited by an existing fae, but when confronted with overwhelming infestation of glitch gremlins, they'll set aside their moderation duties to band together and mercilessly dispatch their natural enemy. And I just like this a lot because for years I was the moderator on a very, very large set of online forum. We would typically have 5,000 to 6,000 concurrent users at any given time. And I was a senior mod, and it was just crazy. So I think it's really cool to have a fae to actually do that for you. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I believe you also probably had the dutiful moderator ability, just like the Ember mod.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and while I'm kind of speaking of that, I'll say that all of us had on our list, before I get to my number three, the typo daemon. That's like the universal number one for all of us, or a top one, which
right.
I don't know who wrote that.
We're all authors.
It's cool. Yes.
Yeah, we like to write. I think a typo daemon is responsible for that error that happens in Brazil that leads the whole plot off.
Yes. Yes.
That's my theory.
You are correct.
What's that? When I first read, okay, before I read what it was and was delighted, I saw a typo daemon. I'm like, what's the fear of lots of little holes?
Oh, yeah.
It's not typophobia.
It's typophobia, I think. Or it's tripophobia.
It looked similar enough to me that I thought it was that, but it wasn't. Yeah.
So a hypo daemon would be pretty cool too then, right? It's kind of making lots of holes everywhere.
Really get under your skin.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then my third one was, again, another kind of a cute critter and another fae. And this is, I don't even know how to say this, the Oberynchi. And again, I just love the lore here. Like, a group of them is called a shower.
Aww.
And when three of them get together, they can grant a wish to a mortal. And I thought, wow, that's just kind of a really cool thing. And not something I remember at all in Starfinder before. So these all seem
that one's
kind of new, you know, to me in general. So
she's got the ban hammer.
Yes, the ban hammer. But that the ban hammer really should be on the Ember mod, I think. I used the ban hammer a lot when I was moderating. So
it's a fair point.
Yeah.
But you never know. Maybe they need to do it.
Does that wish ritual have any have a catch? I bet fae can be kind of tricksy.
Yeah, it's usually limited to raising the dead or curing.
No catch whatsoever. Entirely believable and genuine. Wink. Yep.
Wink. I think it's when you're really low level and you're stuck in, like, say, a starship buried under a mountain, and you're cursed and you have no way to get rid of it, that these fae could come and save your life, rather than forcing you to die and be done forever, Ron.
Oh, that's an incredibly specific idea there, John. A hyper-specific idea.
Yes, yes. I'm not saying that Ron has done that again to one or more of our characters in a game where they're just going to die and it's just a matter of time. But, it'd be useful. All right, Jason. What do you got?
Yeah. A lot of good stuff in here. Hard to pick just a couple. That's why I'll have some honorable mentions leading up this. Yes. But my first one is I guess I'm also doing this alphabetically. First one is a returning favorite, the Capin. And I think this one I think got a bit of a glow up from first edition. It is of this reptilian-esque monster where that detaches its tentacles from its face and gets it to creep around. This one's a bit of just an old favorite of mine too, because I did write a piece of blog fiction that had a Capin as the sort of main antagonist. It was Dr. B, the biohacker iconic, having to do a little fighting of this thing. It detaches its face off. I think the art looks fantastic. It looks really fun and creepy and almost, just sort of like, I don't know, it's just almost like, even though it doesn't have a face, it's got a big head. Like, it just kind of has this, like, kind of like big head where all the tentacles are. And it, you know, does the thing. It detaches a bunch of tentacles and those sort of act like minions, and it all sort of works out fun. And the, you know, the little tentacles do a little swarm on you, and it's vicious. It's vicious. Second, I want to talk, I think all the new dragons obviously look pretty cool. But I think, I don't know, the cosmic dragon is really speaking to me. Maybe it's his cool horns and chin. But I like him. He's basically a Solarian dragon. He's got the sort of stellar attunement type powers and all the usual sort of stuff that dragons will have, you know, terrible breath, a terrible breath weapon, just terrible breath, bites and tails and all that stuff, you know, but this one can also do a stellar pulse, depending on it attunes itself, graviton or photon, right? And then it just can do a pulse and just sort of like knock people around or completely immobilize them. Or do the photon one is good for all of its, well, it's good for everybody in it, but it, you know, they might can blast its allies to give them the quicken condition for a round, which is pretty cool. And my third one, and you know, I had to pick this one, is of course the Gubbin Gremlin, because the Gubbins, it's just a fun word to say. And maybe during like the Adventurous podcast, my character was just, I didn't know what a monster was. He would just call it a Gubbins, some kind of Gubbins. And
Gubbins is coming for you.
This Gubbins is coming. This guy is, I think, essentially like a AI art gremlin, because it has the wrong number of fingers and its fingers are weird, and it's got an eyeball that's got three things. It's just all kind of really ridiculous looking. In a fun way, and they, you know, they corrupt data basically with their gremlinness, as you would in Starfinder. You know, it's very Starfinder. We had the glitch gremlins, of course, which are more computerized, but these guys are just sort of like, we're here to do, what the heck did they do? They're scramble your minds, scramble your technology, and fun stuff like that. And they can basically just not actually be where you think they are when you attack them. So they pop in and pop out. It's fun. I just, you know, again, lots of great stuff in here that I, am excited to see. I will be excited to see them in use, and, excited to see, what comes, if, you know, what else is next. Cause there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we recognize, and a lot of super good new stuff. And we'll talk about those honorable mentions later. Ron, why don't you take it away?
Sure. I have three, and I will start with the thing that struck me most when I came through. I'm a big fan of the SCP website and weird mimetic hazards and monsters and stuff like that. So, of course, I was drawn immediately to Paradox 17, which just the sheer nature of observing it causes reality distortions and things like that. When I initially looked, when I was going through the book, I saw Paradox 17. Oh, this looks like some sort of, the description is like of an awesome sort of reality warping thing. And the picture is just a dude with a rifle. And I'm like, all right, what's a weird looking lizard dude? Maybe that's a Vesk. I don't, anyway, what, you know, what's so weird? Oh, this is somebody who is like seen the thing and divorced from reality. The actual thing itself is odd. Takes up almost a full page for its stat block on the next page. And the image is not of Paradox 17. Of course, you cannot perceive it, but of like a conspiracy theorist set of notes about Paradox 17. Yeah. And then from a like a mechanical design perspective, there's a lot of really interesting things here. It's got an actual ability that if you succeed at a recall knowledge check to know anything about it, anywhere, no matter where you are, Paradox 17 immediately knows it. It knows when people are even thinking about it or trying to figure it out. And it also has what I think is kind of a neat ability called Disregard Reality. It is not itself incorporeal, but it can move through all other creatures, objects, and structures as though they were incorporeal, which is different from a rules perspective than being incorporeal yourself. I thought that was actually really cool.
That's fun.
I love that. I have a fondness for the Aslanti Star Empire getting to number two. I've fondness for the Aslanti Star Empire ever since I was able to use the Aeon Guard and like a little Aeon Guard scouts in one of the first Starfinder APs that I ever wrote for one Jason Keeley. And I was really excited to see not only have the Aeon Guard return, but there's like the super space Nazi version, which is the Sahedron Guard, which is even more powerful and more domineering. And their backstory is about how they're all about crushing dissent, even within the Aslanti Star Empire. So they're not the space Nazis that are out attacking other people. They're the ones who are crushing dissent from within. And are higher level and more powerful as a result. I think that is.
God forbid that you do see them outside the Aslanti Star Empire, then you know something bad is about to happen.
Yes. Or you are actually on some list you do not want to be on. Yeah, that is absolutely exactly the case. But the third one is the Moon Giant, and it's actually primarily for an art reason. I've got a real love for Moon Giants ever since I was able to bring them forward and use them in the AP, the second to last AP that I wrote, Dominion's End at the end of the Devastation Arc campaign. It was a bunch of kind of hapless Moon Giants that you had to sort of rescue, but some of them had turned bad. And one thing I really liked about the Moon Giants, now at the time when we had kind of alignments in the game, Moon Giants kind of fit into the phases of the moon waxing and waning. So maybe they were good or maybe they weren't. And now alignments aren't in the game anymore, but the Moon Giants still are. Their art is great. It's got them sort of telekinetically moving around some archways and things that are much smaller than they are. It gives a sense of the real scope of the creatures. And they keep all the awesome moon powers that they did before and are still appropriate high level. I think that the Moon Giants are really cool. Those are my top three.
Nice. All right. Excellent. And we'll talk a little bit about honorable mentions. So Jason mentioned those. And so I'll talk about two. My first one is the Corpse Fleet Recruiter, which is just really cool. It's like this floating head on arms with a gun and stuff.
And it's just, look out, it's got a gun.
Yeah. So it's just, it's kind of neat pushing that, you know, like the corpse folk to a very, very kind of extreme area there, has void healing and, you know, some arcane spells as well. So
You got to love the audacity of the word recruiter there.
Yes.
For the corpse fleet, which means it basically means this thing is just going to kill you. And then
it will kill you and then get
your corpse up.
Recruit you in the most press gang way possible.
Yeah. And it can make a corpse bomb out of undead minions, basically make them explode in different areas and stuff. So that's the first one. And then the second one is a biotech advanced war machine. And I like this a lot.
Are those the ones that look like they're out of the Matrix?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I like the fact that they kind of included various war machines. And then they have this kind of this biotech one. And it really looks like the things that are kind of floating around chasing the ships, Neo and the ships and stuff that like tear into them. And I thought, that's kind of really cool to have the picture's a biotech version. The stat block is actually for a advanced war machine. And so this is kind of a variant of it, like a cursed, they actually have a stat block for a biotech advanced one. It's a little bit higher level. So they had some kind of interesting, skills as well. A thermo shadow allows it to collect and reflect thermal energy. So that's kind of a neat. And then a corpse flower. So allows it to, if it's reduced down to zero hit points, it self-destructs and blows everything up. So as one should. And what about you, Jason? Honorable mentions?
Yeah, I got a couple of them. Mainly for, I would say, like personal reasons. But the first one isn't. The first one is just sort of, I love the new art for the Rancrotas. I think that sort of really I didn't necessarily have any sort of connection to the Rancrotas beforehand. I was like, oh yeah, they're cool. You know, they're Castrovalian lizard things, you know. But then, I don't know, something about these new pieces of art have really got me into them. Just kind of giving them that more, like, something more alien about these beaked lizard creatures, basically, right? Just just cool looking. They're just pretty cool looking.
Makes you really want to save them, you know?
Yeah, you want them? I want to maybe, you know, save them by keeping them as far away from me as possible.
No, that was a really popular Starfinder Society.
Yo, I know.
Adventure, save the Rancrotas. Okay, I didn't know if you knew.
Yeah. the Thermotrod is an honorable mention for me for personal reasons. I didn't write the original. That one sort of showed up at the early on. Well, I can't remember which AP it was, but I got to write the when we brought it into an alien archive of three or four, whatever it is. I wrote the higher level version of them. And I had, you know, cause it was in an AP before I had developed the other ones. And you know, again, I just, everyone loves a good lava monster, made out of rock and puking up lava. So for this. And the third one is, the Vracinea, which was in 1E, one of the very first things that I wrote for 1E Starfinder, this plant that was I think that was one of the ones it's in the first volume of it's in Incident at Epsilon Station, first volume of Dead Sons, it was one of two aliens that were just like, we have art but we don't know what these are, so take them and write a creature that looks like this art, which was, I thought, was kind of fun challenge. And they made it back here.
Nice.
Second edition. I like doing that. Love them, baby. Yeah. I didn't have anything to do with any of them in second edition, but I'm just excited to see them returning.
Well, I am I really respect your humility, Jason, because you did your top three and your honorable mentions were, you know, some stuff I wrote was, whereas what my top three included some stuff I wrote was, and my honorable mentions don't have anything to do with that. So I flipped it. I have two honorable mentions. The first one is, on a general sense, I really like that there are just people in here. I mentioned the Aeon Guard, but the fact that there is just humans that you can fight, that are grouped together in thematic ways, but possibly my favorite of which, to make the honorable mention, is the Xeno Wardens. Because it is, if you're making a bunch of people, you can just give them guns and make them different levels and your job is done. But they went further than that for the Xeno Wardens. They gave them cool abilities and then tied them around thematically. So like the mid-level one of these has an ability that is functionally to like teleport your allies around the battlefield. But the way it's flavored is root network, where you're able to like have roots come up from the ground, grab your friends, and move them around to where you want them to be, and then let them go in a new spot. Very flavorful for Xeno Wardens. And then the biggest one, the Xeno Warden Bio Hulk, which is sort of a plant-infused giant person, right? You get a sense that they were absolutely a person at one time, but they've kind of let this Xeno Warden real reverence for plants maybe get the better of them. It would be easy enough to give them like, here is a blasty ability that does a bunch of damage in the area, but let's dial it up to 11. This guy yells at you and the yell causes plants to erupt from the ground and thrash around and do you a bunch of damage. And then once he's done a bunch of damage, he could try to demoralize all of you because he yelled. I thought that was really kind of fun. So the Xenowardens are one of my honorable mentions. The other honorable mention has to do with what I thought I might have known a lot about, but didn't. The Swarm has a lot of creatures coming back in here, but instead of like your standard Korovox and Thresher Lord, I think those are the only first two. There have been a lot of Swarm creatures, a ton of them, and they could have just pulled any of those forward. But I think of the four that are here, I think all of them are new except the Thresher Lord. So it's a little bit of a nod to the past, but also, now I certainly am not an expert on every Swarm creature, and it would be easy to point at something and say, well, Ron, this was actually in the previous Alien Archive, you know, thus and thus and such, or back matter of such and so adventure. But it looks like to me that all of that's like a whole bunch of new Swarm toys to play with. And that's awesome in any sense of being able to use an unstoppable army of gross bugs that are absolutely not Tyranids, but are instead the Swarm.
Right. Let me, with the Swarm is they're constantly evolving and changing mm-hmm. their bodies up. And so, you know, having new ones like constantly is basically, you know, their whole shtick.
That's their thing. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Those are my honorable mentions.
Very good. Yeah. This is a great book. It's 200 pages and, you know, there's other stuff in there in terms of spells and rituals and talking about. So it's, I mean, I just got the book and I'm going through it and I've already marked like a lot of cool things I want to use and see. And yeah, I think it's it turned out really well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. 100%.
Lots of good art too.
Yep. Lots of great art. So.
All right. Well, for all of you out there that participate in Halloween and hope you have a wonderful and safe one. And I'll remind you all to stay on target. I'm John.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And stay out of the water. I mean, this has been Digital Divination.